Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
We're going to talk about goals this morning, and I think one of the encouragements I felt the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning was that in fact sometimes we as believers fail to make plans, and we think that, oh well, you know, God will take care of our futures and we can trust in God and we give things over to Him. But this is a great time of the year that we can actually sit down, reflect on the past, look what's happened. We can, maybe this year you've walked through some trials, maybe you've lost people that are close to you, maybe you've got some great victories, maybe you've got a new job. We've had a lot of people join our church, you've moved up from Auckland, you've got a new beginning this year. There's been a lot that's happened, and sometimes in the middle of it all and the lead up to Christmas, it's hard to process that, and we're just jumping in. But this is a great time of year. I call it no man's land. It's between Christmas and New Year's, where like you're not sure if it belongs to 2018 or 2019. And so because the decision is so hard, you end up going to the beach and the Boxing Day sales and doing nothing else. And those who are at work don't do any work. You know what I'm talking about. Sitting in the office, great sunny day outside. But it is a great time to just look back over the year and maybe process some of that stuff, and also think ahead and think about setting goals. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to set goals so that in a year from now, our faith has matured, that we've grown, and we've not just been caught in the humdrum, the daily routines of life, and not stopped to actually think about our growth, our personal development. We stop to think about what God might be doing in our life and what might be coming ahead, and we pay attention to those things so that we're successful in growing, because we're called to go as believers from glory to glory and strength to strength. And I think there's our participation needed to see that happen. It's not just a case of going, Holy Spirit, you do whatever you want, now I'm going to do whatever I want. But we actually go, okay, let's plan this together, and we sit down and do that. There's a saying that says, aim small, miss small. And it's talking about target practice. If you aim small and try and hit the target, even if you miss, you're only going to miss by a little bit. And another saying puts it even better. It says, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it every time. And I think that's a great thing to think about in the coming year. What are some of the goals we can set? What does the Bible say about the goals we can set? What advice and wisdom does God give us in how to plan for the year ahead? And maybe what I want to do is give you guys some practical things in the service today so that you can go home, go to the beach, go to, I don't know, whatever you're doing, and you can actually apply some of this into planning for 2019. So we're going to read here just a little passage that really caught my eye when it came to planning into the future. This one stands out to me, and I actually read this. I didn't get inspired from this as much as I was looking to the Bible going, how, if the Bible wants us to plan, how do we do it? What is the ways that the Bible teaches us how to plan? And from that, I went to the Bible and started looking at passages and stories. And I came across this one, and it really stuck out to me, and it sort of grew, and I want to share it with you this morning as something that's very insightful into how God's people plan. So here's the context. The context is that David wants to build a temple. He wants to build a temple for God. And so he goes to God, and he says, God, I want to build you the greatest, most awesome, amazing temple. And God says, no. God says, you know what, David? I want a temple too, but you have too much blood on your hands. You're a man of war, and I want a man of peace to build my temple. So, David goes away, and we pick up the story here. So David gave orders. Can anybody hear that, or is that just me? Am I hearing things? Okay, sorry. Thank you for clarifying that. We had a Bollywood party in here last night. We had an Indian birthday party, and it turned into a Bollywood party. Got home at 12:30. My ears are still ringing. So it was crazy. So David gave orders to call together the foreigners living in Israel, and he assigned them the task of preparing finished stone for building the temple of God. David provided large amounts of iron for the nails that would be needed for the doors and the gates and for the clamps, and he gave more bronze than could be weighed. He also provided innumerable cedar logs, for the men of Tyre and Sidon had bought vast amounts of cedar to David. David said, "My son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it now." So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Just want to read verse 5 again. It says, David said, "My son Solomon is still young and inexperienced. And since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it now." So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. And when I was reading that verse, something struck out to me, that though David could have said, "You know what, God, you said no, I'm going to leave that for somebody else to do another day," David's dream wasn't that he would build the temple. David's dream was that the temple would be built. And so it didn't deter him when God said no, because he was like, "Well, my dream is still that your temple will be built. So what I'm going to do, even though I can't build the temple, I can start preparing for it now. So that when my son Solomon comes along, he'll be prepared when the time comes, and he won't have to do all the hard preparations beforehand, but in the moment, he'll be able to go, 'Look, it's all been prepared.'" And I think for us, as we have many dreams and we have things on our heart that we want to see happen, and we sometimes put them in the too hard basket and we go, the answer now is no. It's not going to happen. It's not possible. But what if we could start preparing today for tomorrow? What if we could be like David and instead of going, "You know what? I'll leave that for somebody else to do. I'll leave that for my future self to do. But I can actually do something about that today." I don't know what your dreams are and what the things that are on your heart, but so often they overwhelm us and they're too big, so we put them in the I'll do it later basket or the too hard basket. The amount of people I've spoken to who have said, "I want to write a book on our family history one day." And the problem is that one day never comes around, because one day only comes around when you start preparing today. I've wanted to write a book for a long time. I actually love fiction. I love reading fiction. I think that some of the greatest works of I'm a pastor, I've got this little geeky side that likes reading theology, and I think some of the greatest works of theological and books that explain who God is and what He's like, they're actually fiction. We've got the Chronicles of Narnia, that just so pinpoint who God is, and they go outside of the church and impact a world, and now movies are made about them. We've got The Shack, which has just sold over 20 million copies and goes into the homes of thousands and millions of people and turns into movies and goes into more millions and thousands of houses. I'm like, man, so I love fiction. So I was like, I want to write a book. I want to write a fiction. One day I was at a prophetic conference. There's a lot of crazy people, including myself. We're having this worship time, and a lady came up to me and she said, "I feel that God wants to tell you something. I feel that God wants you to write a book, and people are going to get saved reading your book." And I knew at that point that the dream that I had as a child to write fiction books after overdosing on Enid Blyton just had to come clean, man, had to come clean. The famous five, the five find outers, secret seven. After I'd read all the books, I got so desperate, I went back to Noddy, the faraway tree. I used to get wrapped up in these books, and I was like, one day I want to write books that other people get wrapped up in, that other people fall in love in, and they can... you know, and I remember a letter that was written to C.S. Lewis from a concerned mother who said, "I'm worried about my child because I think they love Aslan more than they love Jesus after reading your books." And C.S. Lewis replied, the best response that just nails it on the head for me, said, "But don't they see and don't you see that Aslan is the personification of Jesus? And as much as your child loves Aslan, he loves Jesus." And I was like, wow, I want to do that. I want to write things like that. So I decided to start writing a book, and it was terrible. And I wrote a paragraph, and I was like, it took me like 3 hours to write a paragraph. How am I going to do this? So I put it on the too hard shelf, and then I decided, well, what I'll do is I'll start a blog. I'll start a blog because it will get me practice writing. So I started to blog, much to the detriment of my close family who were forced to read it. And after that, I decided, no, it's still not good enough. I want to learn how to write properly. So I done an online course on journalism. And I finished a course on journalism, and wow, my eyes were opened to this whole new way of writing. I joined a writer's club online. And I've struggled a little bit on and off with dyslexia. I'm not like I can read and write okay, but my spelling is just a mess sometimes. And so on this writer's club, I could send away my writings and people would correct it for me. And I thought, this is a great deal. They charge like 2 cents a page. This is awesome. So that overcame that problem. And then I decided, well, I'm going to start writing a book. And so I sat down a year ago to start writing a book, and time went by, and I wrote like seven chapters. I grew from that paragraph to 7 chapters, and then I was like, man, I'm finding this book hard to write, so I just gave up, and started writing another book, and then got 7 chapters in, gave up, and started writing another book. So I'm in like my 4th unfinished book at the moment. Yeah, I could join them together. It'd be a really weird storyline. But you know what the crazy thing is? Is that I'm closer to writing a book today than I was 5 years ago at the prophetic conference when I was so insecure about my spelling and about my writing, but I decided to just put it out there. And I'm closer today because I started preparing for what I know is going to happen. And it doesn't have to happen. I could just say one day, but I decided that one day would become today, and I started to write, and that's where I am now. And hopefully this year, I want to finish this 4th book. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's a secret. Some of you guys know already, but there's some chuckles because they know the storyline. It just makes me think, what can we accomplish, and what can we do if we start and put off procrastination? The dictionary definition of procrastination is to put off till tomorrow what can be done today. And you can't do your dreams today, but you can start preparing now. And you guys might have dreams. They might be things like, I want to go on a missions trip. Well, that's not going to happen unless you start doing something about it now. Maybe your dream is to travel. Maybe it's as simple as you know someone somewhere in the world and you've always thought, I want to go there and visit that person, but it's not going to happen because of work, because of money, because of time. But you know what's great about work, money, and time is that you can actually prepare those things in advance. You can prepare money, you can prepare time aside, and you can prepare yourself to do those things. Maybe you're a young single person here today, and you would like a wife, and you're trusting the Lord to just swoop along with this beautiful husband, this beautiful bride, and you're not going to have to do anything, and they're going to cook and clean and do it all for you. I don't know, I'm just saying that's how it happened for me. But but you know what? If you want to meet somebody, you've actually got to do something about that now. You've actually got to start working on yourself. You've got to start becoming a better person, because ain't nobody going to marry you if you still get your mum to do your laundry. If you spend endless hours playing computer games, if you don't pay bills, if you just let somebody else take care of your life, then why do you think you're going to meet somebody who's going to be attracted to you? You've got to start preparing today for what God's going to bring tomorrow. I don't know what your dreams are, and I don't know what God's put in your heart, but maybe there's somebody you want to talk to about Jesus. Maybe you've got family members, and you're like, you know, I just really want them to come to God, and it's like, I've just left that with God. And I think there's times that we feel so overwhelmed, and we just so want people to know about Jesus, and we just have to offer it up in prayer. But you know you can actually do something about that, you sneaky people? You can actually pray, and you can think, well, what if I invited them to, maybe church is too much for them, but what if I could get them somewhere to meet some Christians? What if I could send them something, a video or a YouTube clip? What if I could engage them in a conversation? What if I could give them, you know, that gift of a Bible at Christmas when people can't be upset about it? They're like, oh, thanks for the Bible. You know. Maybe you can actually think about ways to engage your family and friends and neighbors in the gospel message and about Jesus. Instead of going, oh, well, the Holy Spirit's going to take that, realize that we're the hands and feet of Jesus and that he wants to give us creative ideas how to reach the world around us. This is pretty much what my job is. My job is not to work here. Is certainly the term is shepherd the flock. But, you know, my job is to speak to you guys and take care of the family of God. But it's bigger than that. It's to dream of creative ways to reach people with the gospel. That's why we're doing all this with our church. We're looking at creative ways of productions and doing things to reach people for the gospel. And you can do something about that today. You can actually think of ways to start preparing today for what God's going to do tomorrow. It's a partnership. I love that about God. God isn't just like, you know what, rule and subdue. I'm going on holiday to the Vatican. The Pope quite likes me. You know, you guys carry on doing what you guys are going to do. And he's not like, you know what, you guys have no idea what you're doing. I'm just going to take care. I'm going to micromanage everything. God's like, you know what, we can do this together. We can do this together. I think that's what it takes in preparation. I think preparation is something we can think about in 2019. What are some of the dreams we've got, and what are some of the steps we can make to progress towards those dreams so that they happen? This is awesome. I get so excited when I start dreaming about what I could do in this lifetime, this short lifetime on earth, the potential that's within me, the potential that's within you, the mountains we can move, the lives that we can change, the things we can shake in this world, if we just started preparing now, just like David. And I remember another story that happened to me several years ago. I was going for a prayer walk. I just moved to Whangarei, going for a prayer walk, which consists of walking and praying. It's just amazing. You can do that stuff simultaneously. And I was walking around Kensington. I just started coming to church here. I was going to Bible college. And I said, God, I just want to preach to people. I just want to speak. And God said to me, okay, start preparing now. I was like, God, you're just going to put the words in my mouth. You're just going to give me what I need to speak. That's how it works, isn't it? And God's like, I want you to go home and start preparing messages. So I went back and stayed in a little flat. And we had these, one side of the room was just these sliding doors that had big curtains covering them. And so at nighttime, I used to close the curtains and I pretended, visualize that these curtains were an auditorium of thousands of people and that I was put on the spot to give this message. And so I'd be like, man, what am I going to say to these people? And I'd go and research my Bible. I'd start writing down. Listen, and I don't say this as a way of thinking that I'm a great person or dedicated person, but I'd spend like 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours a day in the evenings just preaching to the curtains. I just moved to Whangarei, so I didn't know too many people, so I had lots of spare time on my hand, and it would drive my wife crazy. I'd go into the bathroom, brush my teeth, and I'd preach to myself in the mirror. I spend all this time preaching, and after a couple of months, I mean, I must have been preaching to myself 10 to 15 hours a week, just preaching to no one. And after a couple of months, I was like, God, this is pointless. What is the point in preparing messages for people that don't even exist? God said, I want you to keep preaching. So I kept kept speaking, and then Simon came to me, and Graham Cruikshank, the pastor then of our church, and he came and he said, I want you to take over the youth group. And I thought, man, this is it. This is my opportunity. So I turned up at Flame, and for the first year, all those sermons that I'd been practicing, I used on Flame. And you know what? They weren't that great. They were pretty average, if I'm honest. But they were better than it would have been if I hadn't done anything. If I'd turn up and said, okay, God, just use me. And then everybody's like, dude, what is Matt? That was a really bad message. And then I would have got discouraged and have went home and said, God, you can't use me. But I prepared beforehand because I knew God was setting up an opportunity that I had to be prepared for. And then after a year of speaking at Flame, the second year got a little bit better. The third year got a little bit better. The fourth year got a little bit better. The fifth year, they let me into the Sunday service. The sixth year, I'm doing more speaking. And now I'm going and speaking in other venues and other places. And I just think that's amazing. In fact, I came to New Zealand to work with a missions organization, YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And I was praying at home several months ago. I said, God, I feel like one of the topics they speak at on YWAM is how to re-enter from missions back into everyday life. And I said, God, I really have this, I'd love to help people with that topic because that was something I had to journey through. It's a very different lifestyle when you know, where am I going to be this year? Where am I going to be for Christmas this year? On a plane, here, there, everywhere, doing all this missions work. And then suddenly you're in a job and you've got responsibilities that you can't get on a plane and go away from. And it's like, man, how do you transition into family life? And I thought, I'd love to share this with people. And God, one of my dreams is to go back to YWAM and share my journey with people who are going to go through the same journey. Well, I get a phone call 2 weeks later from the base leader at YWAM. And he said, look, I was referred to you by a friend of mine, Paul Chambers. And he said that you'd be great to speak on the topic of re-entry for people coming from the mission field back into everyday life. And I was like, God, that is crazy. Not only had you spoken that to me, but I've already started preparing content for that moment. So the moment comes, and I have all this backlog of preparation ready for the time. What if I hadn't prepared? What if I had been like, oh, look, I'd love to speak, but I don't have time. I've planned all this other stuff, and I don't think, I never expected this opportunity to arise, so I didn't do anything about it. But I was prepared, and 2019 is a year that you can start preparing because God's got opportunities to open up for you and to do in your calling and the dreams that he's placed on your heart, but it's not going to happen if you don't start preparing today. And if the phone calls come and you're not ready, you're going to have to turn down those offers that were going to lead to your dream. So you need to be ready. We need to be ready as people of God because God wants to release us to spread his kingdom on planet Earth, and it's only going to happen when we start preparing today. Remember, David's dream wasn't that he would build the temple, but that the temple would be built. It wasn't that he would build the temple, but it was that the temple would be built. You see, as we're planning 2019, I think there's two types of dreams that we can have. I have a lot, I've shared writing a book. I have other dreams. I want to run a marathon this year. And thank you. I stopped running a number of years ago because I hurt my knee, and I gave up, and I thought, well, I'm going to have knee problems now, and I had knee problems whenever I ran for about two, three years, and finally, I managed to get on top of it, and I ran a half marathon, and I said, if I get under a certain time, I'm going to run the full marathon, and I got under the time I was aiming for, and I'm preparing this year to run a marathon, and I'd love to do it as a sponsored thing to send money to missions, so stay tuned for that, and I might be roping some of you guys into that too. But I've got all these goals, what I want to see happen next year, and I'm sure you guys too, but there's two kinds of goals we can have. We can have personal goals, and we can have kingdom goals. And although I do think the two things overlap, I think the significance in David's preparation was that he didn't have to be the one to see the fruit of the temple built. He just wanted to know that it was going to be built. I think another type of dream that we can have for 2019 as we're reflecting and planning over the next year is, God, what can I do to build your kingdom? What can I do this in 2019 that's going to build your kingdom? Do you remember the quote, aim small, miss small? Well, when we come to God, we can also make big statements. See, if we aim big, we're going to miss big. And I think the rule applies that when we come to God and we say, God, I'm going to surrender everything, it's quite a big statement. And to be honest, it's quite easy to make big statements because they're very general. I'm going to surrender everything. Well, that's great. But what if God says, I want you to surrender your annual leave? And you're like, well, I'll surrender everything, but not my annual leave. That's not under the category of everything. But here's the thing. When you're a child, your parents direct you what to do. When you're an adult, you make the decision. I don't think God's going to come up to you and be like, I want you to go on a missions trip. I don't think God's going to come and pinpoint you and be like, I want you to give up your annual leave. I don't think God's going to pinpoint you and be like, I want you to give your finances, and this is how much I want you to give. I think when we grow up, and if you've been a Christian for 2 years, God might act like that. For the first few years, God sort of coaches us and teaches us. But as we grow up, God actually says, you know what? I've given you life. And as much as you've given your life to me, it's still your life to steward. What are you going to do with it? And I think sometimes when we say, God, I surrender everything, maybe 2019 we can think, what does everything look like? Maybe God wants some of your time this year. Or maybe it's not that he wants it, but you can offer it to him. Maybe it's a way of saying, God, this year, as a goal to see your kingdom grow, that your temple would grow, your body on earth would grow, this is what I'm going to give. Maybe it's finances. Maybe some of you haven't tithed in the past. And maybe, like me for years, I'm not even still sure I understand tithing. I know that I'm a pastor and you'd say, well, you know, you should have your head around tithing. And I don't fully get it, but I do it because it's my offering to God. It's me saying, God, this is what I want to give to you. This is what I want to honor you with. This is how I want you to build your kingdom. And maybe this year it's going, well, financially, I'm going to do something. Financially, I'm going to give into the kingdom of God. Maybe this year it could be your time. Maybe Sundays are a day that you're like, well, I'm just going to splurge out on Sundays. And maybe God's saying, why don't you just spend some time reading the Bible and praying on Sunday? Why don't you offer that to God? Why don't you start a Bible program this year? A way of offering your time and your energies to God by learning the Bible. What if your prayer life has benefited this year? What are some goals you can set that are going to result in the kingdom of God being built? And I really do believe that our personal goals are important. And one thing that I've learned about God that I love so much and I never want to forget is God is so interested in the details. He is so interested in the details of our life. He is so interested on what we think about when we wake up in the morning and we look out the window. He's so interested to know what we think about that day. He's so interested to know when we're going shopping and we're, I don't know, buying the groceries. He's so interested to remind us, oh, don't forget to buy milk. You know what I'm saying? You're like, okay, you're getting ridiculous there. No, God is so interested in the details. And you have personal goals this year. And if you want to run a marathon, if you want to go on a missions trip, if you want to write a book, if you want to find someone, if you want to go overseas and visit someone, if you have a goal, God is so interested in that detail in your life. I guess the challenge is, are we going to be interested in the details of his kingdom? Are we going to be interested in the details of his kingdom? God, I'm just so passionate about your kingdom being built and established on earth. God, what can I do to help you this year? What can I bring as an offering in 2019? And can I measure it? Can I measure it so that this time next year I can look back and go, I achieved this. I achieved this personal goal. I achieved this kingdom goal. Maybe if you read the Bible through from cover to cover and go through in chronological order or something like that, at the end of the year, you can go, wow, I read the whole Bible. How cool is that? Total bragging rights there. but it's a spiritual thing, so you can't brag about it. You know what I'm saying? I want to finish there. I think that's given you guys some things to think about. But what I want to challenge you guys to do in the next couple of days before New Year's is take some time to think about goals for next year and come up with three goals, just three things that you can do, that you can measure for next year. And try and make one or two of them kingdom goals. Not just about you, but about the kingdom. And you can build that list, you can expand it, and write them down. Listen, write them down somewhere so that you can find them in the future. Maybe keep a diary or a book or a piece of paper and put it somewhere that you're going to see it regularly and you're going to remember at the end of the year, you can open up that paper and look at those goals and go, wow, look what I did. And you know what? If you don't make the goals, that's okay. Aim small, miss small. At least you did something and you're further along the way than you would have been if you had no goal. I'm closer to writing a book today than I was previously.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.